fact, God's existence doesn't do anything to God. It just does a lot to us. So atheism is denial of the existence of God. Thomas Huxley coined this word, agnosticism. Again, notice it starts with an A. In the middle of that word is gnosis. The Greek word gnosis means knowledge. And a Gnostic is a person that is knowledgeable. So whenever you say agnostic, beginning with A, it negates the fact that you have any knowledge of God. So Thomas Huxley said that God is unknown and probably unknowable. And so that's the view of the agnostic. And then the third view that we want to talk about here tonight is what? It's deism. Deism, or the deist, is a person that believes that God exists and God created the universe, but then God withdrew himself and no longer sustains the universe. I don't understand that view, but they just believe that God does exist. He did create, but he's not really interested in us or anything that he made here. So that doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the deist. That's what he believes. And then, of course, there is the pantheist, I think, is the next one. Pantheism is those that believe God is nature and the forces of the universe. So trees are God, and rocks are God, and mountains are God, and rivers are God, and the oceans are God, and the air is God. And so God's just nature. That's what God is. And that's the view of the pantheist. And then there is the belief of the polytheism. Polytheism believes that there's many gods. Now, as a matter of fact, each of these ancient societies, they just created as many gods as they needed. Every time they needed a new god, they just made one. Amen. And that's the belief of polytheism. And then there's us. The monotheists or monotheism are people that just believe in one God. Just people that believe in just one God. There's three groups of people that believe in one God. Judaism believes in one God. That's who this verse was written to tonight. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. That's what caused the Jews to remain a one God people throughout their existence and believe just in one God, because the Lord taught them and they got a hold of that. Now, they did struggle with it at times, but today they believe there's just one God. Islam, the Muslim people, they just believe in one God. They call him Allah. And of course, Christianity just believes in one God. So these three major world religions just believe in one God. But within Christianity, there are varieties of belief. Not everybody that believes in one God believes in one God the way we believe in one God. So we want to look at some of these variations then. The Trinitarianism believes that there's one God, but he exists in three separate, distinct persons that are co-eternal, co-equal, co-existent, and co-powerful. And then you ask them to explain that, and they say it's a mystery, you can't do it. It is a mystery, even God doesn't understand it, because it's not a truth. Amen. It is a confusion. And then there is binitarianism, which are people that believe that there are two distinct persons in the Godhead. They believe that just in the Father and the Son. And the Holy Ghost, of course, is chunked in there somewhere with the Father as co-eternal. So that's binitarianism. They believed in two distinct persons in the Godhead. And then there is the modalistic monarchianism that believe in one God manifest. And not persons, but manifestations. Offices or relationships. Now, that's what I believe tonight. I believe that there's one God, and I believe that there's one person in the Godhead. His name's Jesus. Amen. But God manifests himself in many ways. Now, in way of explanation tonight, as simple as I know how to make this, I'm a father. I'm a son. I'm a husband. I'm a pastor. A lot of other roles, a lot of other relationships. But if you see more than one of me, you need your eyes checked. There's just one person. But I have many roles tonight that I feel fulfill in my life. And each of those relationships is distinctly different from the other. I am not the same as a father to my daughter as I am as a husband to my wife. It's a totally different relationship. But I'm just one person. I'm not the same as a husband to my wife as I was to my parents as their son. That was a totally different relationship. It has a totally different title, has a different name. But that doesn't make me another person, does it? And you're in the same boat. You have many relationships that you share with people, but you're just one person. And that's how we explain the Godhead. God is just one. Now, there's many relationships that God has. We call them manifestations. Principally in the Scripture, there are these three. Father. God is Father of all things as the Creator. Everything exists of Him, by Him, through Him, and for Him. God is a Creator. He's the Father of all that exists. That's a relationship, isn't it? He's the Father of all. Amen. So we call Him Father, rightly so. When we talk about God as the Son, now let me just say this tonight. Scripturally, you cannot talk about God the Son. You can talk about the Son of God, but not God the Son. The Bible never uses the word God the Son. It's not in there. Amen. But the Scripture always, when it refers to the Son of God, it refers to the flesh body of Jesus Christ. Always. Always. Always, always. It refers to that distinct relationship of the Son, which is God manifest in flesh, so that God who is Spirit could take upon Himself a form like yours and mine, experience life as you and I experience life. Brother Holly used to say that as God, our Father, He knew us He knew us theoretically. In theory, God knew what it was like to be a man. But when God put on a flesh body like yours and mine, He knew us experientially. He experienced life as a human being. Now, there's a lot of difference in the theory and an experience, isn't there? Now, theory is a great thing. You may think you know something, but when you experience it, you really know it. And so God not only knows us theoretically as the Father, but He knows us experientially as the Son, God manifest in a human body like yours and mine. He really knows what it's like. When you say, I'm hungry, He understands hunger. When you talk about thirst, when you talk about pain, when you talk about loneliness, when you talk about all of the human condition, God understands that because He lived in a human body just like yours and mine. And that's why we know Him as the Son. How wonderful tonight that my God really knows what it's like to be me. He lived in this stuff that I'm living in right here. Amen. And so that's a relationship, not another God, just a relationship that God had with humanity. And then, of course, we talk about the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. That's okay to use either one of those terms. Some people think Holy Spirit's too highfalutin, but it's scriptural. It's okay to use that. It's the same, isn't it? Amen. Same word. In the Greek, it's the same word. It's not any different. It's pneuma. And it's the same regardless of how you translate it in English, whether ghost or spirit, same word. And so the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit is just simply God in action or God's Spirit that in regeneration, as far as we know Him. When we talk about the experience of the Holy Ghost, it's God or Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. You see, if these were totally different beings, It could get real confusing, couldn't it? Because we talk about the Spirit of God in you, and then we talk about the Spirit of Christ in you. Is that two different spirits? The Bible talks about God being the Father of Jesus, and then it says, and the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary. So then does that make two fathers? No. It's just understanding these terms that we use are manifestations, are relationships, or offices that God holds in His relationship with human beings. Does that make sense to anybody? All right, I hope it's clear. It is. It's very clear to me. I understand that. Jesus Christ had a dual nature. He had a human nature and He had a spiritual nature. And he's a dual person. Somebody said, well, if Jesus was praying when He prayed on the cross, who was He praying to? Was He praying to Himself? Yep. Sure was. Amen. Praise God. Amen. When you pray, who do you pray to? You pray to God, but where is He? The Scripture says the kingdom of God is where? Within you. Within you. So he was praying to God. Where was God? In him. When you pray to God, where is He? In you. If you've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God's not somewhere sitting on an ivory throne with lightning bolts in His hand waiting for you to step out of line so He can fry you. No. He's not like that. He's within you. He's within you. Praise God. When God talks, He talks right here. Amen. He's in us tonight. So God is in you. God is in me. And so these are our descriptions. They're descriptive terms so that we may understand who God is. In Colombia, we wanted her to go to the missionary school. So we applied. They were very excited because my wife is a teacher, and they were looking forward to her teaching there and wouldn't even charge us anything if she would teach there. That sounded good to us. It'd help our budget, help everybody. So we filled out an application. Well, when I filled out the application, it said, I believe that God is, I believe in God in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, I could almost do that. So I just scratched out the word persons, and above that I wrote manifestations. I can do that. I believe that. And I just sent it in. Well, the board looked it over, and they called me up. Well, the president did, and he said, I noticed here that you modified our application a little bit. I said, yes, sir. I said, I don't believe God's three in three persons, but I can go with God in three manifestations. I said, the word persons gets real confusing for me. And he said, do you really believe that? I said, yes, sir, I sure do. I said, you see, every time you try to explain your view of the Godhead to me, you wind up saying it's a mystery. Nobody can understand it. I said, but I understand the doctrine that I believe, and I can explain it to you. Well, Cherie didn't get to go to the school. She still had to homeschool. Amen. They were going to charge us just as much as they charged the heathen. Amen. And we were missionaries, but nonetheless, it was worth it. Amen. Praise God. I still believe there's just one God. I'm glad I can understand Him, aren't you? Yes, sir. Amen. The Bible does say great is the mystery of godliness, but the word mysterion in the Bible, it means a mystery that God has revealed and you can understand. God doesn't want to be some mysterious thing that you can't understand. He wants you to understand Him. He sends you revelation so that you can understand Him. God wants to be understood today. It doesn't give God any glory if He's just some mysterious thing God's a great mystery. Oh, He wants to be loved and understood, and He wants you to have a relationship with Him. That's what creation and that's what salvation is all about. Amen. So God wants us to have a relationship with Him tonight. All right, and so then whenever we talk about modalism, there's a little difference. There's what they call dynamic monarchianism, which is the teaching that Jesus Christ The Father was manifest in the body of Jesus Christ, but Jesus wasn't fully God. And some may actually take that to the point that whenever Jesus died on the cross, because the Father was in Him, the Father died too. Now, we can't go that far, folks. Amen. No, we can't go that far. It was the flesh that died. But the eternal Spirit of God is eternal. It's just exactly that. It doesn't die. So we don't believe dynamic modalism or monarchianism, but we do believe modalistic. And that means God was in modes, manifestations, or offices, relationships. All of those words fit fine for me. I can handle all of those. But the word persons gets awfully confusing for me. Because when I think of three persons, I think of three persons. And that gets really, really, really confusing. The Bible teaches that there's one God, doesn't it? Let's see if it does. In the Old Testament, there are many verses, and I'm just going to expose a few here tonight. And so if you choose to write some of these down or look some of these up, you certainly may. We've already read one of them said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might." So that doesn't leave to me a lot of wiggle room. It just simply says numerically, God is one. That's it. What did I have next here? 32 and 39. I got some on this list here I didn't write down on there. "See that I, even I am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." Amen. So he said, there's no God with him. There's no God with him. 2 Samuel 7:22, "Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears." So there is no God beside him. Amen. That's quite plain, isn't it? Amen. And then we go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 37:16, "O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth." So that's pretty plain that there's just God, the God. He dwells alone, and He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. Verse number 10, "You're my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand." Everybody say understand. God wants you to understand. "And understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." Amen. That's what we mean by eternity. Before Him there was no God formed. Amen. "Neither shall there be after me." So that just means He just is God. Scripture makes it pretty plain. In the beginning, God. He is already there whenever the beginning was. However you wanted to interpret that. I am the Lord, and there, and beside me there is no Savior. Just one. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Isaiah 44:8. "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time, and have not declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." Somebody said the only thing God doesn't know is another God. His omniscience, He knows everything else. But He doesn't know any other God. Amen. And if He is omniscient, then there must not be one, because He would know. Isaiah 44:24. "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh All things that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. That's a pretty good God right there. Amen. This is quite an awesome universe that we're a part of. And God said, I made all of this stuff. And he said, I did it by myself. Didn't have any help. Didn't need another God. There is not another God. He said, I did it by myself. Isaiah 45 and 6, that I may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I'm getting the idea he's serious about this. Isaiah 45, 21, 22, tell you and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am the God and there is none else. Wow, that's restrictive, folks. Does he really mean that? I thought there was all kinds of roads. That's what I've been told. We hear every day that you just can't say there's just one. You might offend somebody. Well, it sounds like he was not real worried about somebody's feelings. He just kind of spit it out there, didn't he? Amen. Yes, he did. And you know what, folks? It's important that we believe this. Amen. We are living in such a tolerant society that tolerates anything but personal conviction. You can believe anything as long as it's what they want you to believe. Yep. That's right. Just believe what they want you to, and that's diversity, right? But just don't believe what you want to believe. My, what absolute confusion. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. God said, I know from the very beginning, I know the ending. I know how all this is going to turn out. We taught, I think last night, was it? That's what all this is all about. This is just simply working out what God has already predetermined. That's what history is. It's working out what God has already predetermined is going to happen and going to be. There's no surprises here. The Lord made it very plain. He said, I set kings up, I take kings down. I set kingdoms up, I take kingdoms down. Amen. And if you're a child of God and can believe that, you can have some peace about all this. It's all in His control. Nothing's out of control tonight. And you know what? He's going to take care of you. I think I read somewhere, my grace is sufficient for thee. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think tonight you and I can have confidence. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Amen. Malachi 2 and 10. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by profaning the covenant of our fathers? Hath not one God created us? Zechariah 14:9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there be one Lord and his name one. Amen. One Lord and his name one. Amen. I'm getting the idea that those Old Testament fellas were one God people. I wonder if it carried over to the New Testament. Jesus certainly was. Mark chapter 12, verse 29-30, he's quoting here from Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Jesus said unto them, the first of all commandments. Everybody say the first of all commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Jesus said, that's number one. If you don't get anything else, get that one. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Amen. That just pretty well sums it all up, folks. Romans 3:30 said, Paul wrote, Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. The circumcision means the Jews. Uncircumcision means the Gentiles. So it's the same one God that's going to justify the Jew, and it's the same one God that's going to justify the Gentile by faith. Amen. 1 Corinthians 8:4, As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and there is none other God but one. Amen. He said idols are nothing in the world. Amen. There is none other God but one. And then in the 6th verse he said, But unto us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. Amen. There's just one, folks. Just one. Makes it very, very clear. Galatians 3:20. There is a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. A mediator is someone that mediates or stands between two. Amen. It's somebody that represents you. And so we're going to read in just a minute who that mediator is. But there's just, but God is one. And He's just one. I think Ephesians 4:6, he says it very well. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. One God, Father of all. 1 Timothy 2:5, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Very specific, the man, Christ Jesus. That's the mediator. That's why God was manifest in flesh, wasn't it? That was the whole purpose, to have that mediatorial role. Job in his day said, Oh, that I might have a daysman. The word daysman is the same as a mediator. Somebody that would stand before God and plead my cause. So God manifest in flesh, understanding what it is to be a human being, represents us. Amen. But He conquered sin, where? In the flesh. Amen. Jesus, it's as if God said, All right, devil, you chose the flesh as the battleground. I can fight there. So God took a body upon Himself and said, You won last time. You're not going to win this time. And He defeated Satan in the flesh. He defeated him in a human body. And He won the victory so that He could redeem us and make us like Him. Amen. Praise God. One mediator between God and men, the man, the flesh body, Jesus Christ. James 2:19, Thou believest that there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. Even the devil knows there's just one God, doesn't he? Amen. He does not believe in a multiplicity of deities. 1 John 2:20, But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. And Revelation 4:2, I think, is significant. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. One sat on the throne. Just one throne and one sitting on the throne. If you've ever seen pictures, you know, sometimes you see this old man with long whiskers sitting on the throne and this dove flying around his head. And a young fellow standing there beside him. And that's just confusion, though. There's just one throne, one sitting on the throne. Amen. There's just one body, one person in the Godhead. That's Jesus Christ. He was God manifest in a human body. That's the flesh right there, folks. Amen. That's what's going to sit on the throne. That's the body that you're going to see when you get to heaven. That's going to be God's visible form. It's the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because God is spirit. Apart from that body, he can take any form he wants to. Yes, he can. God can speak through anything he has, hasn't he? Through a burning bush, through a donkey. Amen. Praise God. He can speak in a lot of ways. He can manifest himself many, many, many ways. But we call those theophanies, a brief appearance of God in a human form. God can appear many ways, but he chose to live in one body. And that was the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible teaches a strict monotheism. Abraham was chosen because he was willing to forsake the gods of his fathers. Yes, you know, Abraham was a man of great faith. He was a man of great faith because he lived in a time when people believed in false deities. But he just said, no, there's just one. There's just one. And he rose up. And the Lord said, you get up from among these people and you go where I'll show you. He didn't have a GPS. He didn't even have a Rand McNally map. He didn't even have a Texaco star map. You remember those old ones you used to get at the service station? They were free back then. But he just got up and left. And he just went where the Lord told him to go. Amen. My, that's a lot of faith, isn't it? Praise God. That's a lot of faith. Abraham was a man of, and he just believed that God, just one God. That's what he believed in. Where did he get that idea? His fathers didn't have it. His ancestors didn't have it. People around him didn't have it. Amen. It came revelation. He believed there's one God. He latched on to it. Amen. Praise God. And then the Bible says that Israel was blessed because they followed that one God. Amen. It was promised through Abraham and his seed. They laid hold on that. As long as Israel believed in one God, they were blessed. But there was a time in Israel's history when they dabbled in polytheism. And when they did that, they got in serious trouble with God, didn't they? You know, Israel, the 10 tribes went into captivity to the Assyrians, and we don't even know what happened to them. Only God knows where they are. But the two southern tribes went into captivity in Babylon for 70 years. And you know what? When they came back from Babylon, they never went into idolatry again. They never went into idolatry again. But you know, God means business about what he says. Do you know why Israel went into 70 years of captivity? You remember the Lord said, I want you to plant the ground for 7 or 6 years. In the seventh year, you let the land be fallow. Remember that? And Israel didn't take that seriously. So for 490 years, they fudged and farmed every year. God said, all right, we're going to let it rest now. And he took them out of the land for 70 years. And for 70 years, the land lay fallow. And after 70 years, he allowed them to return. But they came back a different people than the people that left. They came back strong in their faith. They came back with it forever settled in their mind. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. And they never move from that biblical premise again. They were cured. Amen. Praise God. Let me, in closing, let me read something here from the book of Romans, chapter 1. This is very important. Let me start with the 19th verse. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Now I believe that everybody can know God, and everybody has an opportunity to know God. There's something on the inside of us that God put in there that you can know God personally. And this is something personal for every individual. He said, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world were clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse. Now, God is just so much in evidence all around us. You know, people, why in the world do people use his name in cursing? Because they believe in God. It's just as natural as breathing to believe in God. You look at the creation, it's obvious that there's a designer. I mean, friend, you've got to do a whole lot of denying to get around that. You've got to do a whole lot of digging and explaining things away to get to that level. Yes, you do. You have to do a lot of denying of evidence and reality to explain away the creation. You really do. God is just in everything. He's everywhere. It's obvious that there's a God. And so the Bible says they're without excuse. In verse 21, listen closely. Because that when they knew God, everybody say they knew God. They knew God. I believe that everybody really knows God. But the Bible says they glorified him not as God. They chose not to glorify him, neither were thankful. Gratitude's important in life. People that are unthankful are going to be unholy. Do you hear what I said? And people that are going around all the time griping and complaining, they're going to have a hard time really believing in the goodness of God. Yes, sir. If you're a complainer, you need to reach down and get some gratitude. Amen. You need to get your eyes off of everything and get right away from some people. if you live among folks that's always eating sour grapes and everything's bad and getting worse and nothing's ever good and there's no reason to give thanks, get away from those folks. Amen. Praise God. It's important to be thankful. Amen. It's important to have gratitude. Because God is good. Amen. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Do you know where all this stuff came from? Imaginations. Have you ever seen pictures of the evolution? Where did all those critters come from? Imagination. I mean, they can dig up a jawbone and they can make a whole creature out of it. How do they do that? Imagination. Amen. I mean, they can... I've seen those. Those are interesting charts, you know. They've got these men, how they... You know, they all started out, they kind of... You know, they got little monkeys, and they got tails, and then the tail gets shorter, and their arms are long, dragging the ground, they're hairy, and after a while, their arms start getting shorter, and they start straightening up a little bit, and their tail gets a little shorter, and they just come down, and this one was this certain period of time, and this one lived in this period of time, and this one lived in this period of time, and lo and behold, finally, look how far we've advanced, and how long we have evolved. You know where that came from? Imagination. Exactly. They can go out and dig up the... pardon me, friend, if I get a little sarcastic. I'm sorry. I'm just sick of this baloney being taught. And people falling for it. People thinking, boy, you're really smart if you believe that. No, you just have a good imagination. You can go and dig up a bunch of bones, and they can put flesh on those bones, and then they can put the skin on the bones, and they can form the critter out of the bones, and they can tell you what color he was, and they can tell you what kind of environment he lived in, and they can tell you what he ate, and they can even show you the high school yearbook from the year he graduated. And all of that from a scratch on a rock. That's imagination. They're good. And the sad thing is, there are people foolish enough to follow it. When all the time, there's something crying out on the inside, there is a God. I'm accountable to Him. There is a judgment. I'll face Him someday. History is headed somewhere. There is a purpose to all of this. And the foundation of it all is God. Amen. Praise God. So it says their foolish heart was darkened. Professing, I love this. Boy, does Paul paint it here. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. You know why they did that? Because you can't get outside what you know. God takes things that are not and makes them to be. You know why they made things look like men, look like four-footed beasts, look like creatures? Because that's all their imagination can do, is come up with something that already exists. Man is not a creator. Man is a creature. We can duplicate what He, or some of what He has done. So that's why they worship just things that are already created. Because we can't create anything. We can't get out of the realm of our little bit of revealed knowledge that God has given to us. That's right. So everything man creates is going to look like something that God has already created. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I think I'm just going to go ahead and believe in Him. Somebody said, I don't believe in what I can't see. Oh, yes, you do. Anybody believe in the wind? Can you see it? Anybody believe in breath? Can you see it? Anybody believe in electricity? Can you see it? No. It's there. You don't see it, but it exists. You can feel it. You can see what it does, but you don't actually see it. So everybody believes in a lot of things they cannot see. Amen. There's a lot of things I can't explain. I do not understand. It's a great mystery to me. I do not understand how an image can be made. You just grab stuff out of the air and images and make pictures out of the air. I don't understand that, do you? I don't understand how you could just get sounds out of the air and pull them into a box we call a radio. I don't understand that. You can't see those things, but they're there. We know they're there. We have witnessed them, but we can't explain it, and we really don't know exactly how it operates, and you sure can't see it. So there's a lot of things that we take by faith. And you hear me tonight. Somebody wants you to believe in evolution, it's going to take a whole lot of faith to believe that. Faith in what they're telling you is more true than what the Bible is telling you. You have to make a decision. Do I want to believe people, or do I want to believe God? That's all it boils down to. Both systems require faith. Both explanations require faith. Amen. You have to believe one or the other. I'm going to either believe the imaginations of men, or I'm going to believe the Word of God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Would you stand with me tonight? Thank you so very much for your time and for your attention. Amen. We're going to keep fighting truth. What is it? Truth decay. There we go. Because I want us to keep standing, folks. I don't want us to get caught up in this old world. I don't want us to lose it. Amen. I don't want to lose. I tell you, because I know it's... How do I know it's real? Because I've experienced it for myself. God may not be visible all of the time, but He certainly is tangible because I can feel Him in my soul. Amen. I know him personally. I know him personally. And if you don't know him personally, you can. Hear me tonight. You don't have to take somebody else's word for it. Try it yourself. Don't take my word for it. Try it yourself. Amen. God will as desires to have a relationship with you personally. Just give him a chance, and you will find him to be real. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. I think we ought to praise the Lord right now. Jesus, we're thankful tonight because of truth. I'm thankful that I have something that is genuine. I have faith that is founded on something that is very real. It is proven in the universe. It is proven in the creation. It is proven through prophecy. And it is proven in my personal relationship. I thank you that I know that I know that I know that I know that you're real. Thank you tonight for revealing yourself to us. And God, help this church. Help every individual in this church. Every elder, every adult, every young person, and every child. Help us to lay hold of faith. Help us to hold firmly to the Word of God. You said in this last day, the things that can be shaken will be shaken. But help us to hold on by faith. Amen. And a real knowledge of Jesus Christ, that nothing will move us from the Word of God and your established truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Praise God.